Chris Prattley, right? Yeah. Who are you guys? Just to introduce.
I'm Chris Prattley, and I'm a group program manager for Office Authoring, which is OneNote, Word, and Publisher.
Wow. So you get, last time I talked to you, I think you were only doing OneNote, right?
No, it's a common misperception. I'm just not famous for the other activity.
Don't want to take credit for the other activity.
I've been doing Word for 10 years.
No, wow. Yeah. I didn't even know that. So,
And I'm Owen Braun. I'm the lead program manager for OneNote.
Wow. And we're here in the, I guess, atrium of building 18, which is where I usually live. But I guess it's justice that we do it here because this is where the office team used to be located, right?
Yep, and that's right. Yeah.
Now you guys have a shiny new building over.
Yes. Absolutely.
Right across from the conference center.
Yeah.
And our time here gave us no help in getting to you effectively this time around. We got lost just like the old days.
Yeah. Building 16 throws you off, and then
yes.
You have to get through the Starbucks line and all that. So so what do you guys do? I mean, what is OneNote, first of all?
Those are two different questions.
All right.
what is OneNote? OneNote is a thing we created because we looked at how people seem to spend all their time during the day, which is no longer, you know, we used to think of it in the office team as like you make a document or you make a spreadsheet or you have a meeting, but mostly what you do is you just communicate and deal with a whole bunch of little factoids of things.
Right.
And we wanted to produce some software that would help people in their daily work and pleasure, home life, and so on.
Yeah.
So OneNote's kind of the result of all that work. Just produce the thing that lets you get your work and home stuff organized.
How did you guys come up with the idea for OneNote?
Basically, it started... I was chatting with our senior VP about what... He just said, hey, maybe we should make a new application. Maybe it should be something not around making a document, but more around just dealing with, you know, preparing to make a document. And I said, that's sort of interesting. Why don't we expand the idea to say just managing all the little bits of junk you have? Because I have lots of little bits of things I have to keep track of.
Right.
He's like, yeah, think about that some more. So went off, chatted with some people, and looked at what people do, and we sort of came up with what would something look like that would just let you manage all the little factoids you deal with. And then we started the team up, and then the vision got filled in and informed by everyone else's take on it, which was fortunately all pretty similar. Like, it wasn't like there were two wildly differing viewpoints on how that should be. We just sort of said, yeah, you know, there is like this missing thing that should be part of the standard stable of software you use that just is where you keep all your stuff, and then only occasionally do you actually go make a slide deck or a document. And so that's sort of where it came from.
Wow. And when I saw your old offices, you had a whole hallway full with thousands of notes.
The Hall of Notes.
Yes. The Hall of Notes.
Yes.
And tell me a little bit about what role that research played in development.
Well, it was Chris's idea. We had been working on OneNote for, I don't know, a couple of months, and we'd already been deep into the trenches of trying to figure out what this thing was going to be. And we kept getting into these debates where we would say, well, you know, people don't really take their notes that way, or people, you know, how often do people record that kind of information? And so we thought, well, let's go get a whole bunch of notes and just plaster the hallway with them. And then every time we have one of these questions, we can walk out of the hallway and just be like, out of these 1,000 notes that we have, you know, that we see this happening 5 times or something. And so we actually were running some research at the time through an external company to survey how people were taking notes and what they used them for. And as part of that, we were able to get people to submit their notes to us and just say, give us actual, you know, post-its and phone logs and notebooks that you've taken to meetings and stuff. And we got this huge stack of them, which is actually still sitting in my office in the new building. And we sorted them into piles, you know, to say these have tables in them, and these are handwritten, and these are typed, etc. And then we just plastered them up on the walls, and they were there for, I don't know, I guess 2 or 3 years for the entire time that we were in these buildings.
Yep. How has OneNote been received? What did it change about the world?
That's interesting. It's been received very well by the people who know about it. And the rest of the world, which is almost everybody, has no idea whether they would receive it well or not.
Yeah.
You know, what I've learned a lot is even though we're Microsoft and theoretically we have infinite budget, resources, whatever, the reality is every product actually only has a certain amount of kind of ability to get itself talked about and known.
Yeah.
And you can do, you know, people talk about with phrases like viral marketing, this and that, but when you're talking about a product that has to be sold, you can't give it away. You can give away trials and so on. So what we find is this very interesting cliff, which is if you know about the product and someone's shown you it for maybe 5 minutes, you're generally sold on it. Most, not everybody, but most people are like, I'm going to try that, and they get hooked on it. And if you're in the other category, maybe you've only heard the name, then you don't follow through.
Yeah.
And so we're very pleased with the progress we've made. We've sort of, I think we're in the market about as much as we thought we would be. Certainly we're tracking all our revenue numbers just fine. But it's certainly a challenge. It's a challenge to produce any new product.
Why don't you give me a demo?
Dude. You should have told me to be prepared to do a demo.
Well, the informal demos are often better than the formal ones.
No, they are. I happen to have a currently non-functioning build on my machine. So that's not good.
You could do some mime for you if you want. I'll be the application.
I'll be the drop-down window. Look, list of notebooks.
I'm the master.
Click me.
So you're testing out the next version of OneNote.
Yeah, we're currently running the next version, yeah.
Okay, and you can't quite show me that yet.
I couldn't show it to you.
You'd have to shoot me and destroy the tape.
Something like that.
Have you guys announced when you guys are going to show off Office 12 or anything like that? Not yet.
No, it's all pretty secret. I mean, the Office itself, Office being the umbrella term of Office, has already been talking just at Bill Gates' CEO summit about the new way of working. And so there's been some hints about what Office as a system will bring. We haven't talked specifically about any products.
Okay.
But you'll see that come out, you know, over the course of this year. There'll be a lot of detail.
What was the most surprising use you've seen of OneNote? You know, because when you develop a new product that hasn't been done before, your assumptions often don't hit what actually people use it for.
So that's interesting, because we knew when we were making it that it was going to be kind of a general purpose tool, and people would probably use it for all sorts of things that we weren't expecting. But, you know, our imaginations are pretty limited. Like, it's funny, it's hard to answer the question, what's the most surprising, because there are so many utterly surprising things that people do with it. I think one of my favorites is one that we heard about pretty early on was this. There's a company in Florida that makes amusement rides and parks, you know, the kind of things you go to take your kids and stuff.
Yeah.
And they would do, they have people who construct, what do you call them, little animal cages or environments and so on. And so they would do stuff like sketch out in OneNote on a tablet how they want, like, the turtle environment to look like. And then they would email that to these guys who would construct sort of the fake environment. And then they get back pictures, and they could annotate the pictures and send it back. And they had this whole workflow that was kind of like digital photos, ink, email, and all of it to make like amusement park rides and stuff, SeaWorld stuff. And you're just like, that's pretty different from, you know, task action items in a meeting, which is our basic scenario.
Right.
That's my weirdest one.
We had another one that was similar to that, which was a company called InfoGlobo that's based in Brazil. And they're basically a news reporting agency down there. And so they were covering, I think it was Carnival, right? It was the big sort of...
soccer games, too.
And soccer games, right, that's right. And so they would have reporters out there who would have a microphone that was connected into OneNote. So they would run interviews with people, record the audio of it into OneNote, and then they would send that back to the paper where they would actually capture the information that way. And one of my favorite examples of this was they had, I think, a guy out there with a digital camera as well who was taking pictures of the event and actually adding sort of sketches of ideas for other costumes that he wanted to do in subsequent years. And so we actually got to see some of these files sent back to us, you know, the OneNote files with this guy's sketch of this outrageous, you know, headdress and costume that was going to be used in next year's carnival.
Wow. Now, one of the misperceptions, I think, of OneNote is that it's a tablet PC product, which it is one of the best tablet PC apps out there. But are you guys fighting that perception that it's only for the tablet PC? Or?
It's an active challenge for us because I think, so 90% of our users are not tablet PC users. They use it on their desktops or on their laptops to do, you know, research or take meeting notes or whatever. I think both Chris and I have experienced this effect that when you see OneNote, if you show it to someone and you don't show them any of the tablet PC capabilities, but then after, you know, 30 minutes of that, you spend 2 minutes showing them handwriting, it's very difficult to go back to the sense of, you know, what was cool about it prior to seeing the handwriting. And so that has a natural effect of causing people to associate it very tightly with tablet PCs. But all of us use it quite actively, not typically as a tablet PC application, but just as an organizational tool, as Christian's describing, as opposed to keep stuff.
The problem, whenever we talk about this topic, people always say, oh, so you don't think tablets are very good? And we're like, no. Tablets are great. We love one on a tablet. We always knew when we were creating it, it would be good on a desktop, really good on a laptop, and great on a tablet.
Yep.
And that was always the plan. And now we have this sort of misconception that Owen's describing, and then when we talk, try to diffuse it, people say, oh, so you hate tablet? And they're like, no. Tablet is great. We love it. We're going to continue to support it.
There's Office 12 right there. You're not allowed to look, but it's running on a tablet.
You know, it's no secret that we're revamping all of our ink support in our new version of OneNote to be really, really great, because we love the tablet. We put, like, for us, a huge percentage of the team on tablet work this time. So I don't want to make anyone feel like we don't care about it. It's totally real, but there is the other 100 million PCs out there that we also want to sell OneNote to.
Yeah.
And we think it's very valuable on those things too.
What are the three things that you would, you know, recommend people play with OneNote when they're first trying it out, when they first get it? What are the three coolest things, sir?
I'll give you one, and then Owen can give you one.
Sure.
Yep. Note flags, I think, are really big. Everyone, when they look at OneNote, they see, oh, I can type in it, but that's kind of like Word or Notepad or something. And they don't really see how it's different from a product like Word. And the thing I like to emphasize is, in Word, you could probably make a whole bunch of different Word files. OneNote is a place that keeps everything together in one place. And when everything's in one place, you can start to do things that are interesting. Like if you flag things, note flags are just kind of a tag that you can put an icon or a label on some text. If you get in the habit of marking things as stuff you have to do, or music you want to buy, or people's phone numbers, at any time you can then run a query across all your stuff and roll up those items.
Yeah.
And that starts making the reason why you keep everything in one place apparent to you, and why it's much more interesting than a bunch of separate files.
Yeah.
So mine would probably be a feature that we added in the SP1 release of OneNote, which is called screen clipping.
Yeah.
And screen clippings allow you to just take a picture of what's on the screen. You basically just press the Windows key and then S, and then you'll see this sort of scrim come over your screen, and then you can drag out a rectangle or just take a picture of whatever you drag. And then it throws that into OneNote so that you can take additional notes on it, and it also sticks it on the clipboard, so you can go into email or anything else, and you can mail it to your friends. And the funniest thing is that I think we all underestimated how valuable this feature was going to be, because so many times you'll see something on your screen and think, oh, this is really cool and I want to send it to somebody else, or this exactly explains what I was trying to, you know, show you. And it's really hard in many cases to kind of convey that with words, or to try to, you know, copy-paste the stuff out of a browser, and you get this kind of mangled version of it. And so the cool thing about screen clipping is that you get exactly what you see on the screen.
Very cool. Third one? That's two.
there's plenty. You know, if you haven't tried it, then the audio or video notes are also really interesting.
That was the first feature I played with.
Yeah. They're not for everybody. That's why I didn't want to mention them. Because the first ones we just talked about, are everybody can use them anywhere.
Yeah.
Audio and video notes are this kind of mind-bending thing for most people, where they just got to go, you mean I can just record forever, and then when I write or type things, they're linked to that media somehow, and so I can just click. You know, we actually have people doing podcasting using OneNote now.
Yeah, my book research is all done in OneNote.
Oh,
so
really?
All of our interviews are done in OneNote. So as we take notes, it keeps track of that audio. So it's really...
It's interesting. Like for a podcasting course, we didn't predict podcasting.
Don't take credit for that.
But it's an interesting thing where, you know, you can record your story, you can write down your sort of table of contents at the same time, you can build up a linked set of... like tags, especially tagged items into the audio, and then you've got your table of contents for your podcast, which is pretty cool.
Are you hinting at a feature in the next version of OneNote?
I never do that.
We sure would love to have a blog and podcast capability from OneNote.
And no one mentioned RSS in this meeting either.
Yeah. Now you know my favorite feature request. Where else should we go with this? One of the problems with OneNote was it didn't have an API, right? It didn't have a way for developers to build stuff on top of it. What was the decision process around that, and how will that change over the future?
Well, actually, I wrote a whole stuff in my blog on this topic, but when you're designing a new product, there's a bunch of different philosophies on how that should be done. Do you design everything you might ever want, and then do it all, and then ship the product? If you do that, you'll be 10 years in the making. Plus, you'll probably produce something that seemed like it was designed 10 years ago, because that's what you did, right?
Yeah.
So the trick is, like, how do you strike a balance between engaging with the marketplace, but still doing enough work that people think it's worth engaging with you? So another strategy that people take is produce a version of their app that does nothing and then just keep adding features but keep putting it out in the market. And that's kind of a long, slow process where you end up doing a lot of incremental work and you end up also being typically too influenced by your customers. That sounds like a weird thing to say. But when you get too influenced by your customers, you end up getting pretty narrow and you don't have the ability to step back as a designer and say, here's what we want to do. So this is a long-winded way to say the reason we didn't have much extensibility in the first go-round was we had this list of things we wanted to do to make sure we were useful in about 5 basic scenarios, and that took up all the time. If we wanted to do extensibility, we'd have to reduce the functionality because there's not some free pile of development resources that we have. Now, that said, we knew that once we got established and we found out, for example, what are we going to be used for? We had no idea about all the ways we were going to be used. How could we predict how we'd be extended? If we didn't even know if we were going to be a photo album app or a meeting minutes tool or a design your turtle environment, you know, we wanted to get some sense of where we were going to land. Then we could figure out where extensibility should go.
Right.
And so you'll see more of it in the next version and beyond that as we get more feedback from people saying, this is great, I could connect OneNote to whatever system if only I could do this, that, and the other thing. And we love that kind of detail.
Yeah.
It's not so useful for us to hear, please add full extensibility and everything, because that's not directed enough feedback.
Very cool. You said you worked on Word and other things at Office.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about that? Because I didn't even know about that whole part of your life. You've been here at Microsoft for 10 years?
11 years.
11 years.
I was in Excel for 1 year doing Japanese Excel. I speak Japanese fluently and
wow.
didn't write it. I used to live
How did
in
you
Japan.
Learn Japanese?
I used to live in Japan, so I picked it up.
Wow.
On lunch breaks, no. It's like a full immersion. I worked at a Japanese company, and so I learned Japanese for 3 years when I was there. And
well, we should have you do a whole demo just in Japanese, because we did that with one of the tablet PC demos, and it got a lot of visits.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it would. Yeah. We could do that another time, maybe.
Yeah.
And then so I did Japanese Excel, and then I moved to Word, and I did Japanese and Chinese and Korean Word, and then international stuff for all of Office, and then I became eventually the group manager for Word. And that's when we started thinking about OneNote. When we first started thinking about OneNote, we were like, is this a thing that Word should do? Like, should we build this capability for handling random things on Word? And we knew we could do sort of half of what the first version of OneNote did, built on Word, but then we'd run out of steam. Because there's fundamental things we wanted to be different. You know, we wanted OneNote to be autosave. We wanted OneNote to be start up instantly, take you to where you were last inputting things. And those are fundamentally different behaviors from the way Word works. So at the minimum, it would be, if we built it on Word, it would be a mode of Word. And in fact, it would become an entirely different version of what the way Word works, which doesn't make much sense. And then using Word gives us some short-term advantages and long-term. We couldn't do things like real-time sharing like we do now because Word's not architected for that. OneNote is. And we had all this plans for, as you're seeing, coming out in Service Pack and in the next version. And that's when we said, well, let's start up a different team because it really needs to be its own application with its own fresh start.
Yeah.
And so that's how I became the OneNote guy.
Did you ever perceive people would be using like OneNote with Skype? You know, Skype's an internet telephony application. You know, because I use that to communicate with people around the world and work on projects together. Did you ever foresee that?
Well, when I wrote down podcasting 3 years ago as something we wanted to support, Actually, if you look at, I can't show you this, but if you look at our original vision document for OneNote, there's a line in there that says something like, obviously, real-time media connected communication stuff will be a big part of what OneNote is because we designed it from the ground up to be this real-time shared surface. So, but we're not going to do any of that in the first release because we've got to focus on the single user stuff. And then you saw some of that creep in our service pack, and you'll see a lot more in the next release. And so things like instant messaging and VoIP and all that sort of, you know, ways that people communicate, we fully expected that someday to be integrated. We just didn't know what it would be called and what exactly it would be.
Yeah. Do you ever see a day when OneNote kills off Word? You know, when Word...
Kills off, no.
Okay.
OneNote's never going to be the thing you write your thesis in. Because it's, you know, footnotes, bibliography, citations, all that stuff, great, perfect formatting and stuff is all what Word does. We totally expect Word to take away, OneNote to take away some of the uses of Word. Word is like a hammer that people use for everything, right? You can take notes in it, sure, but OneNote's better. So we expect OneNote to eat away at the uses of Word for things that Word's not very optimized for. And Word will always retain its main design point of being a place you make documents in.
Yeah. Since you guys are, I think you're the first Office interview I've done. How is working in Office different than how you would perceive working in other parts of Microsoft?
Well, let me check with Central Command. that's the big difference. No. No, there's no Central Command. No. Office is, the reason I love working in Office is it's very well managed, is the best way to describe it. It's a machine designed to build things that people want and ship them on a regular schedule. You can make other criticisms of Office, but that's what it's about. So if you're an engineering kind of guy like we are, the pleasure of working in a stable environment with enough resources to realize what you want, you know, and not too much so you don't do stupid things, you just do what matters, and be able to do it regularly without worrying about getting canceled or reorged or whatever is great. Like, it's a rare place to be.
Are you guys hiring?
We're always hiring.
Yeah. Everybody is around here
lately.
If you know C++ and you want a job. How has development for you guys changed in the past few years since you started your careers?
I'll jump in here if you want to. So one that's probably particularly relevant to this audience is that it's been really amazing to see the impact of blogs on the way we work. About 4 years ago when I joined the team, I've been at Microsoft for about 9 years, and so I had already been working designing software before that point. But really, the way that you did it is you went into your office and you took your smarts and you took your previous experience talking to customers, and you were given a problem and you said, this is how I'm going to solve it. And your first opportunity to find out anything about how it worked came much, much, much later, and many other decisions have been made at that point. And so the kind of customer engagement that we can do today is actually very different it's much closer touch. I think it's much more satisfying for us because Chris has experienced this a lot directly by writing a blog that's had a lot of OneNote entries in it, and it's actually a significant source of feedback for us. We hear a lot of things back from people, rants and raves, in the, you know, sort of the talk back to Chris's blogs, and we also have news groups and other mechanisms available that have been around for some time, but it provides this sort of dialogue that's very immediate.
Yeah.
And it's very satisfying for you as a designer, because whether it's a rant or a rave, getting that kind of feedback more quickly, you know, from a broader audience is really, really interesting. So that's had a significant impact on the feedback cycle that we get and how quickly we can respond to things.
Right. How about you? How has the world stole his.
Yeah, that was my own answer.
I would guess security plays into that, right? In 11 years, focus here at Microsoft on security.
Yeah, if you want to broaden it beyond OneNote, absolutely, yeah. I mean, certainly OneNote has security concerns too, but... one thing is coming a bit out of our shell. We've always thought of ourselves as very customer-focused as Office, but having better linkages electronically and also just making more effort to go see people, we've always done that, but now we try to do it even more to figure out what people really want. Security's being a huge thing. It just sort of, it's always been like, we got to worry about security, and then it's flipped around to thou shalt be concerned about security, then you can get around to doing your actual feature work after you've done the security, rather than the other way around, which was, yeah, we'll fix big security bugs when they come up, but, you know, whatever. That's a tough question to answer. It's hard for me to say instantly what's really different. Office is a lot about continuum, you know.
Yeah.
It's about stability. And so if I were to tell you, oh, it's radically different from 2 years ago all the time, that's what organizations look like when they haven't been managed well in the past.
Yeah.
But what we're at Office has been this machine. I mean, if I had one word to describe Office, it's machine.
Yeah.
What are you proudest of in your work?
What are we proudest of? What am I proudest of?
Yeah. Like if you had an MVP here for the first time.
I think the thing I'm most proud of is in the OneNote team, and it's our ability to do what people want. Like, there's nothing more exciting to me than when I meet people and they say, I wish you could do this, this, and this, and you say, we do it in our new release coming out, like, next week or something. Like, Service Pack 1 was like that for me, just this total customer response thing, you know. You could just immediately say to people, all the things you want us to fix, we've already done. For a lot of people, it would be everything. And then they would say, I can't believe it, you fixed everything. Like, not just a couple of things, like, you know. That was really cool. I mean, we didn't fix everything for everybody, but for a lot of people, we did fix everything. So I'm really proud of the OneNote team's customer responsiveness. And a lot of other teams, there's a few people who feel like they need to go find out what customers want. And the OneNote team, to a body, is really engaged. They read news groups. They read the net, wherever it might be. They read blogs. They, you know, we have all these different sources of information, and they're really concerned, right down to the lowest level of tester, developer, whatever. They really want to know, and that's... that's probably the thing I'm most proudest of, is that culture of customer responsiveness.
Yep. Anything else that we should know about OneNote or the OneNote team?
We should do this again when we have some code to show.
Yeah,
we should.
Yeah.
I'd definitely like a demo, because that would certainly help your effectiveness.
Sure. We have videos on the web, full on 45-minute video demo of OneNote.
Okay.
It's called OneNote Tips and Tricks. It's on the Office website.
We'll link to those.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, of course, my blog has a lot of text and picture tips and tricks, but there's...
Yeah, that's been really helpful, especially when you're trying to learn the working together over the internet. What do you call those features?
Shared sessions and...
Shared sessions.
Yeah.
My brain is...
Actually, the OneNote team in particular has a really high percentage of its help is actually multimedia, like video training. So you can just go and do what most people want to do, which is just have someone show you how to do it, not read how to do it. So the help system, help is a word that people usually don't trust, but the training, the support system for OneNote users is very, I'm really proud of it, actually. It's totally driven, by the way, by data. People tell us, I want help on X. We build like a histogram of that, and we go knock off the top requests. And so you can go find out a lot about how to use it, and not just I can't use it, but ways you wouldn't have thought of using it.
Yeah.
That's actually one thing I keep trying to do in my blog is, you know, OneNote can be a house-finding tool. It can be a baby video management system. Someone does that, too. That's crazy, but they do it.
Since you're one of the first Microsoft bloggers, do you have any tips for people who are starting blogs right now?
At Microsoft or anywhere?
Anywhere, yeah. There's MSN Spaces is seeing 100,000 new blogs open up every day.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people.
Well, I think you need to decide who your audience is going to be. Is it going to be whoever, or your friends, or tech enthusiasts like you, and then write consistently and often enough that they get engaged with you. And then respond to comments, too, if you can. I mean, if you don't get many, then you don't have much to respond to. But I found the most effective thing is write honestly, clearly, straightforward, respond. Write about things that you think your audience will be interested in.
Yeah.
And stick to it. If you're all over the place, well, everyone's all over the place. People aren't really going to come back to you.
Yeah. Good advice. Well, thanks for spending half an hour with us.
My pleasure.
Thanks.
Mine too. Thanks.